This is Randomly Raw, the podcast where you never know what you're gonna hear. Some stories told in this podcast may contain explicit language or graphic depictions. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey guys, so glad to have you back and listening again. So, our episode this time around is about Pertha or Bertha, also commonly known as Perch and other variations, who was known to be a goddess in alpine paganism in the Upper German and Australian regions of the Alps. Her name may mean the Bright One, and is probably related to the name Berchtentang, meaning the Feast of the Epiphany. Eugene Mach provides an alternative etymology, attributing the origin of the name of Pertha to the old High German verb pergen, meaning hidden or covered. Pertha is often identified as stemming from the same Germanic goddesses Holda and other female figures of German folklore. According to Jacob Grimm and Lotte Motz, Pertha is Holda's southern cousin or equivalent, as they both share the role of guardian of the beasts, and only appear during the 12 days of Christmas when they oversee spinning. Grimm says Pertha or Bertha was known precisely in those upper German regions where Holda leaves off, in Swabia and Alsace, in Switzerland, in Bavaria, and Austria. According to Erika Tim, Pertha emerged from an amalgamation of Germanic and pre-Germanic, probably Celtic traditions of the Alpine regions after the migration period in the early Middle Ages. Now, there's some depictions of this woman entity, whichever you want to call her. And according to some depictions, she has two forms and may appear as something beautiful, as snow like her name, or as elderly and haggard. In many old descriptions, Pertha had one large foot, sometimes called a goose foot or a swan foot. Grimm thought the strange foot symbolized her being a higher being who could maybe shapeshift to some type of animal form. He noticed that she had a strange foot exists in many languages. It's apparently a swan maiden's foot, which, as a mark of her higher nature, cannot lay aside. And at the same time, the spinning woman's splay foot that worked the treadle. In Tyrol, she appears as little old woman with a very wrinkled face, bright lively eyes, and long hooked nose. Her hair is disheveled, her garments tattered and torn. Now, I got studying on her and I found out that there are some traditional narratives, but I was curious what was first said about spinning in the beginning of this, because when I think of spinning, I think of turn around, but what they mean by spinning with Bertha is the twisting together of drawn out strands of fiber to form yarn in a major part of the textile industry. So, going ahead and throwing that one out there for anyone that feels like me and wondering, why are you talking about spinning? But the traditional narratives are that initially she was the upholder of a cultural taboos, such as the prohibition against spinning on holidays. In the folklore of Bavaria and Austria, Pertha was said to roam the countryside in midwinter and to enter homes during the 12 days between Christmas and Epiphany. She would know whether the children and young servants of the household had behaved well and worked hard all year. If they had, they might find a silver coin the next day, in a shoe or pail or up on the mantelpiece. If they had not, she would slit their bellies open, remove their stomach, their guts, and stuff it in a hole with straw and pebble. She was particularly concerned to see that the girls had spun the whole of their allotted portion of flax or wool during the year. She would also slit people's bellies open and stuff them with straw if they ate something on the night of her feast day other than the traditional meal of fish and gruel. The cult of Pertha, under which followers left food and drink for the Fraal Perch and her followers in hope that they would receive wealth and abundance, was condemned in Bavaria in the Theosaurus Proporium of 1468 and by Thomas Edwin de Four von Hasselbich and D. Sim Preceptus in 1439. Later, canonical and church documents characterized Pertha as synonymous with other leading female spirits, Hulda, Diana, Herodias, Rochella, and Abundia. But, dug a little deeper and I found some related beings to her. Grimm thought that maybe Hulda and her equivalent, while the Wisi Fron may derive directly from Bertha and her white form, the word Perchten is plural for Percha, and this has become the name of her entourage, as well as the name of animal masks worn in parades and festivals in mountainous regions of Austria. In the 16th century, the Perchten took two forms. Some are beautiful and bright, known as the beautiful person. I would say the other word, but I cannot for the life of me pronounce it. I do know it's German. But these come during the 12 nights and festivals to bring luck, wealth to the people. The other form is the ugly person, which is also another German word that I'm not going to try to pronounce because I don't want to offend anyone or embarrass myself, who have fangs and tusks, horns, tails, and are used to drive out demons and ghosts. Men dressed as the ugly person during the 16th century and went from house to house driving out bad spirits and whatnot. Sometimes Deer Tufel is viewed as the most ugly perch and Fruch Pera as the most beautiful perch. In Italy, Percha is roughly equivalent with La Befana, who visits all the children in Italy on the night before 6th of January to fill their socks with candy if they're good, or Alambicol if they're bad. So what I'm gathering from that is other countries' version of Santa Claus, basically, when you think about it, especially with that description. I mean, Santa's known to bring presents when you're good and give you a coal when you're bad, and it definitely speaks of that with this. But I also found that there were a lot of interpretations. So if you want to learn more, I definitely recommend looking up some of the names that are being said right now so that you can. But according to a Jacob Grimm of 1882, Pertha was spoken of an old High German in the 10th century as Furbirocha, and thought to be a white-robed goddess. Whoever saw spinning, weaving, like the myths of Hulda, he believed she was a feminine equivalent of Berthold, and was sometimes the leader of the wild hunt. However, John B. Smith disagrees and suggests that Pertha represents the personification of the Feast of Epiphany, Pertha's Day, and is therefore not pre-Christian. Which, as I said in my beginning of my episode, my whole podcast, I do not discuss religion. But if it comes up in a story, I will speak about it, but I will not have discussions about it. My husband and I have different religions ourselves. So, and we're very open-minded about it because of this. were on the complete opposite end of religion. I mean, I believe in God, don't get me wrong, but we are still on the opposite end. My religion is known as evil, his is known as good. And before anybody just assumes I'm talking about Satanism or paganism, I am not. So, I'm going to go ahead and say that real quick. But back to Bertha. There are actually still modern day celebrations. And contemporary culture persists portrayed as a rewarder of the generous and a punisher of bad. Particularly lying children. Beginning to think maybe I should tell my daughter about this story. But she'll probably laugh. Today, in Australia, particularly Southburg, where she is said to wander through the... Sorry about that, guys. I'm having allergy issues and my throat got clogged. But, where she is said to wander through... If I pronounce this wrong, I am so sorry. Hohensalzburg Castle in the dead of night. The person are still a traditional part of holidays and festival, such as the carnival Fasnacht. The wooden animal masks made for the festivals are today called person. In the Pongwa region of Austria, large processions of, I'm just going to say beautiful person and ugly person are held every winter. Beautiful masks are said to encourage financial windfalls, and ugly masks are worn to drive away those evil spirits. Over regional variations include the Trastevere in the Austrian Penzgua region, the stilt dancers in the town of Unken, the trunked perch in the Unterinnertal region, and the bell running in the Salzkammergut. a number of large ski resorts have turned tradition into a tourist attraction, drawing in large crowds every winter. So I'm beginning to think that this Bertha and her many variations, Bertha and all that, are just, you know, Santa Claus for other regions. And if I'm wrong, can someone please send me an email letting me know? Because you know what time it is. It's that time around where I give you my email again. It's moon.angelica21@gmail.com. That's moon.angelica21@gmail.com. So, I want you guys to spread the word, maybe. If you like what you hear, spread the word so I can trail off the path a little like I'm wanting to. Because until I gain some followers, I'm just going to continue to do these little do-you-know stuff like I have been. I want to hit at least 6 followers. As soon as I can hit that area, I'm going to be giving actual stories that might actually scare you guys. Because I've always been into paranormal. I've had a lot of experiences myself. So for me, paranormal's just, oh, hey, look, there goes a ghost. That's just a normal day. But for a lot of people, it's like, oh goodness, I don't want to see this ghost. Why? And I don't have a problem with it. And actually, I love hearing people's stories about it. Or even if you didn't see a ghost, but maybe you saw a UFO, or you just saw something that you thought was a little weird and out of this world. I'd like to know your stories, and obviously, if you send me a story, I'm going to put it up on the podcast. You do not have to give me your name, but I would like to know, you know, who I can credit it to. Like, for example, all my research is done online. None of it is from one site. So, if I wanted to give you guys the sites, I'd be sitting here for half an hour or more, just reading off sites, and that is so boring. So, just know that it's not copyright. Most of the wording is my own words. I just don't know why I write down words I don't know. Probably for the safety of having the actual word there in front of me, and I'll learn it. But, I hope you guys let me know about your stories and tell me what you want to hear. I honestly really want to know what will draw you guys in more. Because, I mean, I know in my warnings and descriptions, it makes it sound like, you know, there's a lot more than what there is. Which it's supposed to be. But, you know, I'm sticking to the safe route for now until I can get you guys drawn in just a little more. And then I'm gonna hit you guys with a big whammy. So, okay. I'm gonna hand you over to my partner in crime. So we can let you guys go and have a lovely day.
This has been another installment of Randomly Raw. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to this podcast for future episodes and join the family. Catch you next time.